It's good to have you. We are in the month of January, and we try to start off every month of every January with a month focused on prayer. We've been doing that for about the last 3 to 5 years, and so we're in a series on prayer, both our group as well as our group out in St. Charles. And so we're talking about prayer, and it's a good topic. Everyone's getting a daily prayer reminder, sort of a prayer prompt, if you will, a scripture, and sort of a way, something to pray about. And this week has been focused specifically, maybe a little bit, you've noticed, on weaknesses. And so we're going to talk this morning about how we pray when we feel weak. How we pray when we feel weak. I don't know about you, but I have moments of weakness. There are times, right, when prayer feels just natural, you know? When it feels normal and natural to pray, and you just feel like, man, it just, your times with God, they just seem to flow. You know, you just, you don't even have to schedule them. You're just praying regularly. If someone asks you how often, how many hours you prayed, how much time, like, I don't even know. Prayer is just natural. And then there's times or there's seasons when prayer is maybe a bit more difficult. Maybe times prayers are heavy, right? Maybe even feels like prayer is even impossible, okay? I have those seasons as well. And I've had many of those seasons in my life, in my Christian life. Let me just tell you about a few of them. One of them happened when my son went to prison. I just didn't even know what to pray. Now, granted, you know, I grew up, and if, you know, be honest with you, if there were cell phones available when I was growing up, I might be in prison for some of the things that I've done. And so would some of you. Come on now. All the, I feel like there was a lot of silence. Like, silence felt judgmental, but too. But, you know, when I found out my son was going to prison, I didn't know what to pray. What do you pray? God, get him out, keep him safe. I didn't know what to pray. Felt like I let God down. I let him down. God let me down. I've had all of those emotions, right? And even when he was getting out of prison, I didn't know what to pray. Well, thank you, God, for getting him out, but what does this mean? What's this going to be like? And another season of that, when my mom passed away, my mom died in 2015, cancer. And that was a tough season of prayer as well. My mother just went from healthy, walking 5-10 miles a day to, like, it seemed like overnight she was cancer, attacked her brain. She couldn't remember anything. I was there with her and at the house, and she's waking up in the middle of the night and screaming and saying things and talking constantly in her sleep and just yelling, and she'd have these moments and was always waking up. And I remember the last thing I heard her say, she loved getting together as a family. My mother's, you know, old country gal from Louisiana. And she woke up and she had this moment of clarity. She said, Vince. She didn't call me Vince. Vincent, she said. Vincent. I said, yes, Mom. I was in the other room. She goes, we're coming down by your house for Thanksgiving. It's like this moment of clarity. We're coming down to you for Thanksgiving. You know, when you're from Louisiana and you're about as south as you can go, everywhere you're going is down. I don't know why. Coming down by you, you mean up by, never mind, you know what I mean? You know, coming down by you for Thanksgiving, and of course, it was only just a few weeks that she passed away. Tough moment. He said, I love my mom, but she was strong. I remember her being strong and tough, but then those last few weeks when the cancer attacked her brain and took her out quickly. She couldn't remember. She was incoherent. And, you know, when someone who's not doing well dies, you don't know how to pray. You're just kind of like, God, thank you. Why, God? What's going on? You're, like, grateful. That you feel bad for saying thank you, God. It's a lot, right? I felt this again in 2018 when my biological father died, who I was estranged from for most of my life. But I have three siblings from him. And I got a call from the mall, and they wanted me to come to the funeral. And they wanted me to not only come to the funeral, but they wanted me to sing at the funeral. I probably told you this before. I'm going, huh? First of all, I'm not really a soloist. I mean, I could lead a song and get everybody kind of going a little bit, you know what I mean? But I don't have an Alex Bryant voice, you know what I'm saying? So imagine me at my biological father's funeral singing a solo, just feeling really awkward. But I didn't know what to pray. And I've had a number of moments like this in my life. And maybe you had those moments in 2025. I have those moments all the time. I have those moments when it comes to my kids. I have those moments when it comes to my marriage. I have those moments when it comes to the church. Some of you, I don't know what to pray for you people. Just, God, I don't know what to do about Carlton Brooks. I don't know. Help me, God. Carlton's my guy. I love Carlton. Maybe you've had those moments too, right? You have those times when it's hard to pray, right? Not exactly sure what to pray, how to pray. We all have those times. We have those moments too, and feel like God's just taking too long. You feel confused. You just feel like, I just want to cry. When I pray, I just want to start crying. I don't know, maybe you've been there, maybe you haven't. But here's what I want you to know, okay? When you go through these times, when prayers feel hard, these seasons, they're not always a sign that you don't believe. And they're not a sign that you don't care. But they could be a sign that you're just tired, you know what I mean? It'd be a sign that you're confused, that you're overwhelmed, or simply just out of words. You know, God, I have no words. It's one of the things that I've really learned to embrace in my prayer times. I'm going to go on a prayer listen. I have no words. I'm just going to go and listen. And those moments, we do things like this. We quietly assume, like, I should be stronger. I should be better. My prayer life should be better. Or maybe my prayers will get better when I get this together. You ever have those kind of, you feel that way? You don't say those things out loud, but we just have those moments. You kind of go, I just feel my prayer life should be stronger. And all of that does, when we're feeling that way, it kind of almost pushes us away from prayer more. Or it makes us want to go into, like, okay, I'm going to start scheduling it, and I'm going to start, you know what I mean? It depends on what kind of worker bee you are in life, you know what I mean? Again, we don't say those things out loud, but those are the things we feel. But here's the thing that I want you to know. The Bible reminds us of this. God does not meet us in our readiness. God meets us in our weakness. And that's really good news, isn't it? That God doesn't meet you in your readiness. He actually meets you in your weakness. And you can read through the Gospels and you see who Jesus is dealing with. And he's never dealing with the ready, the perfect. They're all weak. In fact, he chose 12 guys that were just kind of like, we're ready. No, we're not ready. We're ready. We're not ready. They were all over the place. Prayer never requires strength. Just requires dependency and honesty. Amen. That's all it really requires, is dependency and honesty. So let's go to God in prayer. God, we love you. We thank you so much for our time to be together, our time to pray. God, thank you that we get a month, God, like this. But God, really, we have access to you all the time. At any time, God, we can approach you, and we're so grateful that you give us that, that you're so available that way, that you give us that flexibility and that freedom. And we need it so desperately. We want it many times. Sometimes we don't want it. We really don't deserve it just to have this much access to you, but we're so grateful that we get it, Lord. We're so grateful that you are so accessible. And God, we're grateful that you meet us and wherever our weaknesses are. God, maybe some of us sitting here this morning, maybe we're sort of at the pinnacle of our spiritual lives. Maybe we're feeling that. We're feeling like a 10 on a scale of 1, 0 to 10. We're feeling like a 10, God. We may never have been doing better. Maybe we're feeling somewhere in between. Maybe we don't know whether we're a 4 or 6 or 8. God, but maybe some of us are just feeling like we're 1s or 0s. God, no matter where we're at, you meet us there. Because you care so much. You're so near and close to the brokenhearted, to the weak, to those that are struggling, to those of us that are going through difficult times. And we're so grateful for that. So help us to lean into that this morning. God, help us to be people that embrace prayer. May today just bring us a little closer, give us a little better understanding, but just draw us a little bit closer to you as we desperately need. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing us. And please give me the words that need to be shared. God, comfort those of us that need comforting. Make uncomfortable any of us that need to be made uncomfortable. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen. Prayer doesn't require strength. It just requires honesty and dependency. 3 points. Point number one, when we don't know what to pray, God still listens. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. It says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God, the church said. Amen. You know, the Bible says that, it says, if we are weak, right? It doesn't say if we are weak. It says when we are weak, amen? It doesn't say, hey, you know, if you're ever feeling weak, it's when we are weak, because this life is just full of weakness. And even in our strongest moments, we're still weak. Even when we think we're just doing awesome, even when we're having those 10 days, we're still so vulnerable, aren't we? We're still so vulnerable, and we're still so weak, and we're still so fragile. It says, when? It doesn't say, try harder with the right words, amen? That's not the call to try harder. Just come up with better words. Walk longer. Find a different prayer spot. All those things might be helpful, but it doesn't really say that. It says the Spirit helps us, amen? And guess, sometimes weakness in our prayer lives, it feels like rebellion, but it's not rebellion, amen? It's really, I'm limited. Weakness is just saying, I'm just limited. I don't have enough. I'm limited. I've reached the end of myself. And isn't that a great place to be, amen? I'm at the end of myself. Since we don't know what to pray because the situation, it feels complicated, right? We don't know what to pray because, well, the pain has so many layers, God. The pain I feel, it is so deep. It is, if I start talking about it serious, we'll be here all day.
All right.
If I start talking about my pain, if I just open that up, it's so deep and wide and long and difficult. It just hurts so much. Or we feel like, you know what? It's hard to pray because the outcome is so uncertain. You know, I was talking to a friend this week. He says, you know, the great thing about hope is that it is always available to us. Even in our weaknesses, we have hope. You know, the worst thing about hope is that it's never right now in our minds. Like, I'm hoping for something in the future. but I need it right now. You know what I'm saying? But the beautiful thing is, it is right now, and it's always available. But the tough thing is, God, but I don't need it in the future. I just need it now. And God goes, you have it now. You go, but God, I don't think you understand what I'm saying. I need it now. And you have it now, but it's in the future. God, that's not now. No, you have it. Yeah, man, that's the beautiful thing about hope. But here's the thing. Instead of fixing, okay, which is what we like to do in our society, God meets us in our weakness, doesn't he?
Amen.
What we want is, God, can you just fix my weakness? And God goes, I'll just meet you there. You're going to, no, don't meet me here. Don't meet me here, God. I think you misunderstand what I'm saying. Don't want you to meet me here. I want you to fix it. God goes, I'll just meet you there. Nope, don't meet. Wouldn't it be different? It'd be great if that song went that way. Jesus, he will fix it right now. And that's how it goes, right? This is after a while. We sing it and we still don't believe it. We're like, I sing after a while, but I really want it right now, God. And we even kind of live that way. We do each other that way a little bit, right? If someone comes to us, we're like, let's fix you right now. You kind of go, can you? But see, Jesus, God doesn't do that. He meets her. He meets us in our weakness. He meets us in our hurt. He meets us in our challenging situations. He meets us in our problems. He meets us in our poor marriage or whatever the issue is with our children or whatever is going on. He meets us there. He meets us in our pain. And when our pain becomes too much and the outcome is more uncertain than ever, we may want God to do it now, but God goes, I'm going to meet you there. And here's the reality. Weak prayers are not rejected prayers. They're not rejected prayers. Those prayers in our weakness, when we're having the most difficult times, those are not rejected prayers. In fact, what they are instead, they are translated prayers. Do you know what I mean? When we don't know what to pray, this is what it says. God doesn't say, you know what? Go away and come back later. Get your words together. Straighten up. Just come back when you get your act together. That's not what God does. That is what my fourth grade teacher did when I went to her. Miss Peters, she said, get away from me. Go back to your desk until you learn how to come up here and talk like a man. I was fourth grade, but you wanted me to talk like a man. Go sit down and then come back. Okay, I got trauma from fourth grade, amen? But that's not who God is. That's not what God does. When we come to God in prayer with our weak little mealy mouth prayer, God doesn't go, you know what, go away, come back when you get your act together. When you learn how to talk and get that slobber out of your mouth, quit holding your head down, look me in the eye, shake my hand with a firm, God doesn't do all of that. That's not how he is. God doesn't treat us that way. It's when we come to him, okay, with our weakness. God doesn't even correct our bad theology. We come to God and like, God, I know you're the God that does everything for me when I ask. God doesn't go, no, I'm not. Get away from me. Doesn't do that. He just goes, it's like you're like a child. We're like children. It's like your children come to you and they go, Dad, I know you're the strongest person in the world. You can do everything right. Okay, Daddy's not the strongest, but that's not the point. Shut up, okay? God just holds us, and he just meets us there. It's in those moments in our weaknesses, he sends the Spirit. And the Spirit comes. And the Spirit carries our sometimes seemingly nonsensical words, and it takes them to God. and it translates them for us. And we don't know what to pray. We're kind of like, blah, blah, blah. And that's kind of what it sounds like. And the Spirit goes, I get it. I get you. I see deeper. I see those layers. I see that pain that no one else sees. And it takes it to God for us. And it's beautiful and it's eloquent. And God goes, he said that? Yes, that's exactly what he said, God. It's exactly. It's the most beautiful prayer ever. God is not waiting for you to be clear or you to have clarity. In our weaknesses is when God is providing us with clarity. Amen.
Amen.
God is not waiting for you to have all of this clarity when you come to him and pray. It's in our weakness that God is providing us with clarity. I mean, it would help us to think about our prayers a little bit differently. I just got to have it all figured out when I go to God. I just want to make sure I write it all down. I have it all right. And God goes, that's sweet. That's really nice. But God provides us clarity even in our weaknesses. Reading through the whole Bible, reading Hosea. Is it Hosea 3, 12? That's where God says, I led her into the desert where she would long for me. Sometimes God takes us into the desert because it's in the desert. It's in those places where we become more longing and more ready forever. I probably misquoted the verse, but it's in Hosea for sure. Amen. God's not waiting for your clarity. He's providing it for you. Amen. Point number two. The Bible makes space for delay, lament, and confusion. Psalm 13. You know, I love this about God. I love this about the word. It says, for the directive music, a psalm of David. This is David's prayer. How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes and I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. I love that David finishes up. He always comes to a good place in the end. Amen. But he always starts honestly. How long, God, do I have to wait on you? The Bible, it reminds us of a God who we seem to think is delaying. Isn't that how he does things? It always seemed like he's not coming. He's just waiting. He won't respond fast enough. I need this now. But the Bible reminds us. It has space for us, and it reminds us constantly about the delay. And David said it, well, how long? And then David goes, it just hurts so much. It's so much pain. I want to die. I really do. I just want to die. And I'm thoroughly confused that my enemies are winning. That I'm being treated so unfairly and so unjustly. And people are talking about me and saying things. I just feel like it's just not fair. Anyone ever feel that way? These are moments of incredible weakness. They're moments when we're the most vulnerable, right? And it seems like no one else gets it. You with me? And we pray to God. We go, God, how long? long plea. What is taking you so long? I'm just thoroughly confused by how you're messing this thing up, God. How long, oh Lord? And he asks again, how long, oh Lord? How long will you forget me, God? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? David is undergoing logical warfare here. How long do I have to wrestle with these thoughts? Anyone have that? I got these thoughts. They're just constantly tormenting me. I'm living this past thing, and I'm living this present thing, and I'm thinking and worried and anxious about this future thing as well, right? Like, I just can't get away. If I can't get away from my past, I can't get away from my present, and the future seems bleak as well. I just want to die. There's no hope. I can't even look back with any kind of, anything to rejoice about. And they said, God, you're faithful in the past, but even in the past when you did it and you were faithful, I see mistakes. I see my faults. I see my problems. I see all my weaknesses. Got a record of them, wrote them all down. Even got some friends that remind me. Got some good people in my life. They remind me, okay, you remember back when? It's the worst thing, you go home to your friends, and your friends go, let's talk about the past. I'm like, let's not talk about the past. Kid you not, I go home for my 20th reunion. That's the big one everyone goes to, because you're still kind of proud. You're like, 20 years from high school, kind of cool and proud. 10 years, you're really proud, Everybody comes back for the 10 and 20 years, 30 years, you're just like, man, who's still alive? You're kind of like a lot more humble. A lot of bad stuff's happened after 30 years, you know what I'm saying? But I think I went back for my 10th or my 20th, I think it might have been, I don't know. I sit down with all my buddies and we're all sitting around gathered and we're talking about stuff, and then, out comes, everything. The alcohol and the weed and everything. I'm like, what is happening here? I'm like, hey, guys, I'm in the ministry. They're like, oh, Vince, come on, man. You taught us how to do all this stuff. I'm going, whoa. Is that how we retell the history? I taught you how to do all this stuff? All of y'all think I taught you how to do this? Not everybody was doing all this stuff, but I had to go to the other room with the guy who works for the mayor and a police officer. I'm going, you know what they're doing in there? Go stop that, No, I taught them all. So you got friends that will bring up your past. I kid you not, I didn't teach them all how to do it, amen? Might have taught one guy something, but that's beside the point. But you know what David doesn't do? David doesn't soften his words. He doesn't rush to conclusions either. In his prayer, he asks how long. He's strong. He's like, God, he's very, very hurt, frustrated. He's at a bad place. But he doesn't start rushing to conclusions and assuming things about God. And this is what we tend to do. When we ask how long, it's not only how long, it's God, I bet the reason you're not doing it is because of, see, there we go. We go there, amen. And David isn't even pretending like everything's good. David's putting it all out there, amen. So anyway, this gives us permission to pray without resolution. It's okay to pray and not have a resolve, to not have a solution or a resolution, amen. It's okay to pray. David, he eventually arrives at a place of trust, but David teaches us one thing in his prayers, that it's okay to go to God and be hurt, confused, and even feeling like, God, you're taking too long. But at the end of the day, God, I trust your unfailing love. I trust your unfailing love.
Amen.
Hurt, pain, and sadness. I want you to know that all of your hurt and your pain and your sadness, it's not a sign that you have no faith, okay? It's faith, frankly, that refuses to disappear. your weakness, your pain, your crying, your confusion, all of that, the fact that you are here, that you're still, it's saying, I can't give up.
Amen.
That thing inside of you, that spirit inside of you going, don't you give up. You know, you're not a quitter. No matter what they say, no matter what they accuse you of, you're not a quitter. It's your faith refusing to let go, to disappear. It's the spirit of, that God put inside of you. And I like that God includes this prayer and prayers like this in Scripture on purpose. It is how we learn how to pray, amen?
Amen.
And we learn some valuable lessons that God would rather hear your honest, how long? Than your polished prayers that you really don't mean. He'd rather hear your how long, God, than your Father God. Father God. Oh, Father God. Father God. Father God. Because God forgot his name, so we got to tell him. Got to remind him who he is, amen? God would rather hear your honesty. Amen. Point number three, we're going to wrap it up. Jesus responds to mixed faith and not perfect faith. Let's go to Mark 9, 19 through 24. This is a really, really honest prayer. So this is Jesus here dealing with his disciples and dealing with some people. He says, you unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? This is Jesus going, how long? He said, how long? I think he's also asking God, God, when does this end? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, he immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, Jesus said. Everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Anyone read this? You know, you're a young Christian. Go, what a confusing statement. I believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. This is a prayer. It's a prayer. It's a prayer to Jesus. In this prayer, you know what it doesn't do? It doesn't resolve the chaos or the tension at all, but it does name it. It just names what's really going on. Faith and doubt in the same sentence. And you know what? God can handle that.
Yes, he can.
I know we think we got to go to God with our most faithful prayers. I got to go to God and I got to be faithful when I go and I got to give him my best prayer. But that's performance, amen? And we talked about that last week, right? This is faith and doubt in the same sort of sentence. This is fear and hope in the same breath. And here's the thing. Jesus doesn't rebuke him. Met him there. Weak prayers, I mean, they're the key to not only being a disciple, but remaining a disciple. Weak prayers are not careless prayers. They are dependent prayers. They're the prayers that say, I don't have to be strong. I don't have to have all this clarity. I don't have to have the right words. I don't have to have the right theology. I don't have to have it all sorted out. I don't have to have all of Psalm, Ephesians. I don't have to have the book of Genesis memorized. I don't have to have it all figured out in order to go before God. And that is when and where God works most. It's where God provides clarity the most for us. It is, more importantly, where God meets us. Amen?
Amen.
Because if prayer required strength, then the weary would be excluded. The brokenhearted would be excluded. And we know this, Psalm 34:18, it says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 147:3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. If you needed to be strong, then God would have ever said that. He's close to the brokenhearted. He goes, my heart's broken. And don't let anyone tell you my heart's broken. Your heart's been broken too long. Stop letting your heart be broken. You kind of go, okay, I'll get right on that. No longer broken. Do something with me. I want you to close your hands and make them into a fist. Make both hands into a fist. Real tight. Feel that tension? That's how some of us pray. We're gripping, we're managing, we're controlling. And this is how we pray. We pray this way. Now slowly open your hands. You know, go to the next slide, bro. Next couple slides. You know, weakness is not having nothing to offer God. But weakness is realizing that I no longer have to control. I no longer have to manipulate. I no longer have to just hold so tightly. I no longer have to manage. This is prayer. Just opening your hands and releasing some of that tension, that desire to control and to manage and to grip so tightly. Romans 8 reminds us again, the Spirit fills us with the words, and those words should be a release for us, amen? They should be the thing in us that says, I can let go. I can let go of all of the angst, the worry, the fear, I can let go. And letting go, it is free. It's going to God and goes, I am so, so weak. Thank you for meeting me in my weakness, God. And so we're going to do something here. We're going to practice this. We did this on Wednesday night. We're going to take about 90 seconds of silence. Now, for all the ADHD people and ADHD people in the room, I just want to warn you, that's going to seem like 3 hours. And you're probably going to, you know, get fidgety, all right? And you may want to yell out. And if you yell out, that's fine, okay? We're going to take about 90 seconds. 90 seconds of silence. And all your temptations to count those 90 seconds, don't do it, okay? This is 90 seconds of silence, and we're going to pray. And maybe you don't know what to pray, and maybe you don't have the exact words to pray, and maybe you got something that's heavy on your heart, but I want you to simply acknowledge your weakness, whatever it is before God, for 90 seconds. I've already warned you. Go. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. Some of our deepest prayers this year, they're not going to sound that spiritual. They may sound like, I'm tired, I'm afraid, I don't know, I'm worried, I'm hurt, I'm in pain. And God is not going to turn away those prayers. He will draw near to us in those prayers. Because God does not meet us when we're strong. He meets us when we're real. Prayer does not require strength. It just requires dependency, honesty. God bless you.